Blog Talk Radio. Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the Word of Truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3:12 and 13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary. And as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. End of chapter 4.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Happy Preparation Day. And those that are in the Sabbath hour, happy Sabbath. Just want to welcome each and every one of you, those that are near, those that are far, in China, Japan, in England, in the Netherlands, those in the Caribbean, and those also that are here in the U.S. Welcome one, welcome all. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla, and I'm your host. Let us please start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for health and strength. I thank you for sustaining us, Lord. I thank you for the cross that you shed your precious blood for each and every one of us while we were yet sinner. You died for us. God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we see when there is love, there is giving of oneself. Help us to be selfless. Help us to give ourselves to you because we belong to you by creation and redemption. We are your workmanship, Lord. Help us, convict us of sin and of unrighteousness, Lord. Help us to surrender all to you, kind and loving Father. We present our children, those with grandchildren, great-grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, our associate, those we come in contact with, even our enemies, Lord. We present them to you. You know their hearts. You know their needs, Lord. And we ask that you will help them, Lord. Pray that they will repent and draw closer to you. Bless us as we come together, Lord, as we unify on one accord. Bless our gathering, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this evening, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Happy Sabbath to one and all. Praise the Lord. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. So I'll just share this reading before I open the line. Please press 1 if you would like to share. Amen. You can press 1 at this time if you would like to share. Okay. The professed church of Christ is full of the spurious attitude. And one distinct feature of it is the more the member drink into the spirit of popular sanctification, the less they prize the present truth. Many of those who are the open opponents of God's Sabbath, the third angel's message, and the health reform are amongst the sanctified one. Again, it said many of those who are the open opponents of God's Sabbath, the third angel message and the health reform are amongst the sanctified one, even reach the almost hopeless position that they cannot sin. And we know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Continue reading. These, of course, have no further use for the Lord's Prayer, which teaches us to pray that our sins may be forgiven. And but every little use of the Bible as they profess to be led by the Spirit. FH 47.3. So may the Lord help those that are of that mindset, that they have arrived and, you know, they have not sinned, or maybe, you know, they're not sinning like others, but that is not how our thoughts should be. That is not the position that no one should be take, because once we take that position, the devil, you know, will come in unto us and, you know, trying to set up his character within that person. So may the Lord truly, truly help those that have that mindset. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. I'll go ahead and open the line for the first caller that has pressed 1. Amen. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. Five, 337, your line is now open.
Good evening, my sister. I just would like to thank God for his blessing Sabbath. And I am just enjoying this Sabbath as I come and sit down to worship the Lord. So I would like to just sing a song right now. Open with a song, sister, if you don't mind. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear our humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass us by, calling Savior, Savior. Hear our humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Let us at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help our unbelief. We call in Savior, Savior, hear our humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal our wounded, broken spirit. Save us by thy grace. We call and save. Savior, hear our humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Thou, the spring of all our comfort, more than life for us, who have I on earth beside thee, who in heaven but thee? Oh, yes, Savior, Savior, hear our humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Oh, please, do not pass us by. Oh, thank you, Father. Please don't pass us by tonight, Lord. This is your holy Sabbath. And, Lord, while we are yet here giving you praise and thanking you for one another week, Father, that you have blessed all of our sisters and brothers, I lift them up to you, Father. May we all come to the prayer line tonight, Father, because you have given us another week. This day we shall praise the Lord and give him thanks. And I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. And God is so good, and I'm thanking him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, and he's truly, truly worthy to be praised. As the song says, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. We all, you know, want to run to our loving Father as we go through our trials and our ups and downs, as we face difficulties in this life. We run to our Father, and he said, come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he's waiting for us to run to him. He's waiting for us to come to him with all our problems and our trial, and to sit at his feet and to pray and to spread everything before him. He knows it all, but yet he wants that communion with us. He wants for us to communicate with him and to talk with him, and as we sit, as we walk, as we work, and just to have that fellowship with him and with one another. So praise the Lord. I'll go ahead and open the line for the next caller. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. I'm glad that you can make it with us. Join us this evening. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. 518, let's see, 482, your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line, and welcome back.
Amen.
Welcome,
amen.
Welcome back. Happy Sabbath to all of us on the line this evening. I want to sing this song, Why should he love me so? Why should he love us? What did we do to deserve God's love? And this song tells me that God always loves us. No matter what we do, he loves us, right? And I'm thankful to God for saving my life to see another Sabbath, a wonderful week. He had two beautiful days, like summer days, yesterday and today. And so God is good to all of us. And we can come here on this line this evening. I was welcoming Sabbath at 6 o'clock. We were singing. It was a long time. So we just love to sing because, you know, the songs tells you about Jesus' love, and it tells us it brings comfort to our souls. So I just love to sing. And I sing the song, Why Should He Love Me So? Love sent my Savior to die in myself. Why should he love me so? Meekly to Calvary, cause he was led. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so? Nails pierced his hands and his feet for my sins. Why should he love me so? He suffered so my salvation to win. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so? Oh, how he organized their, my princess. Oh, how he organized there in my place. Why should he love me so? Nothing is holding in my sin defense. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should he love us so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so? Amen. And I would like to repeat the 23rd Psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that is love, because God has promised us to be with us throughout our walk in life. If he is our shepherd, he is always leading us. And if we follow that shepherd, we will end up in God's kingdom. So my beloved brothers and sisters on this line, this evening I'm admonishing you to follow your shepherd. Follow Jesus the shepherd, who always leads us in the right path. And may God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath. Follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow him. I will follow Jesus anywhere he leads me. I will follow on. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Anywhere he leads, I will follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Anywhere he leads, I will follow. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carlo, for opening my line. May we follow our shepherd, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli. We know we ought to make a joyful sound unto the Lord. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. So thank you for songs and sharing with us as we come together and unify and strengthen on one accord. To give God glory and honor and praise. And as I read this, before I open the next line, it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 starting. It said, "And thereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwell in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abided in us by the Spirit which he has given us." And we know that is the Holy Spirit. So praise the Lord. I'll go ahead and open the next line for the caller that has pressed 1. Good evening. Thank you for joining us, and happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. 518-951, your line is now open.
Okay, happy Sabbath, my dear beloved. Glad to hear your voice, my dear beloved Sister Carla. This is Sister Powell. And I just want to say happy Sabbath to all of my dear beloved. Thanks, Sister Consonelli, for that song. I don't know why the Lord loves us or what we do, that he loves us. So he loves us that he go on the cross, sacrifice his blood for us. That is the love he has for us. And I just pray that God will open out heaven and pour out his storeroom upon us so that we will know that we have a loving, kind, compassion, caring Father, so that we can follow him all the way with him, and we can trust him and know that, you know, one day soon and very soon, he will be coming for us, and he's coming for our prepared people. So let us be faithful. Thank you, my dear beloved, for that song. Yes, my dear, I just want to give God thanks and praise for all his blessings and his love towards me and what he has done. My dear Sister Carla, he took me on a mission trip for over 10 months, and he brought me back here safely. And you know what? I am just giving praise to God. I do know I miss some of my brothers and my sisters. I miss my children, my grandchildren from all over. But you know what? God said, some day you will be here and the other day you will not be. So I just ask you all to lift up those individuals in prayer that God will pour out his blessings upon them, and also, you know, not asking for anything, but to give God thanks for all what he has done. He has done great things, and I am rejoicing. You know, today I went to the eye doctor, my dear beloved, and I do know, I feel it, you know, of a cataract in the left eye. I felt it while I was there, and I knew that it was time for me to get my checkup. And I, you know what, God kept me, you know, he loved me so much that he kept me, you know, until I came up. And when I came, I just said, you know what, let I do what I have to do. So that is well taken, not taken. And I do know that the great physician is there. I place it in his hands, and he is willing and just ready if we trust him to do what he desires for us. I give God thanks for that. Another praise report I want to give God thanks for health. Give God thanks for strength, for providing food, shelter, clothing, and also for providing neighbors that, you know what, you know you are missed when you are not around. When you come back, you saw the love that these neighbors have, you know, and rejoicing that you said, wow, I didn't know that there was such an impact, you know, that, you know, I have given unto my neighbors, so that while I was away, they were just asking when Grandma will be coming back. And, you know, when they saw me, my dear beloved, you know, everyone was giving thanks. So I thank God for the life that God have given unto me, and the way in which, as the Lord said, we must love our brothers and our sisters just as we love ourselves. So I just want to thank God for that. I want to thank God for this prayer line, Sister Carla, and for God using us that we can come on this line each day and share the goodness of God, and also by sharing his word to others out there. And as we are planning this missionary evangelism, going out in the community to reach one, you know, each one will teach one. And if God will be in it, and we are asking for prayer so that when that time comes, that it will be successful. And your his people out there who do not know him will have a glimpse of him by we going out and share his love to them. So I just want to thank God for all what he has done, Sister E. Carla. Words cannot express his gratitude, you know, that he has done for each and every one of us, especially this blessed Sabbath day he has given unto us. We can sit down, relax, read his word, and to listen to his word. So thank you, my dear beloved, for listening and asking you to continue to pray for Sister Powell. Also remember these projects that we are doing, what we are doing, not just about it, that God will pour out his blessings on them. And the team that is doing it, even though Sister Powell is not there, that God will touch their heart and they will let their light shine by doing these that others can come to join them. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Sorry, my phone was muted. Thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing. Praise the Lord, you are back in at home here in upstate New York, and I just thank the Lord for your protection, your safe journey, and also for the work that you are doing and the work that you have done in Jamaica. And we know the work that we do on God's behalf, it follow us, and know that people were blessed, hearts were touched, and life were changed. So thank you again, Sister Powell, for sharing and for the work that you're doing, even at your age. You're a great witness to each and every one of us, and I know to your children, those in the community, and your grandchildren, and those that you see from time to time. So praise the Lord. Again, thank you very much. I will, and again, thanks Sister Leola for the song and Sister Continelli for their song. And now we're just sharing, brothers and sisters, if you have a prayer request or a quick testimony, this is the time for you to press 1 so that you can share, or if you like to offer a word of prayer, you can also do that at this time. So I'll go ahead and open the line for 985-232. Good evening, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for all he's doing in our life. Thank him for blessing us. Thank you for his love. I just want to thank him for his joy and blessing. I just want to thank him for everything. Because he's God, and he's the only God that will help us and through our storms and everything. Almighty God, what a God we serve. I just want to thank him, you know, because you just have to have the patience. And I'm trying to read a prayer, and the devil done got busy. But I'm going to get this prayer. Hold on a minute. Brother John will speak first.
Yeah, John, Brother John from Louisiana. And it's taking it easy today on listening to the word and things like that. You know, that the word always benefits us.
Hello? Hello, you still there?
We can hear you. Yes.
Okay, we can hear you.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I thought I had a little disturbance, but glad y'all can hear me. I just wanted to give God the praises always, and thank him for watching over us and sheltering us all the time. He's always good. And let me say, we all get that same frame of mind. You know, like the Bible and thing, the kindness and everything, the giving to one another, helping one another. And like you said, the more and more people come to that frame of mind, the wonderful the world it will be. My wife's getting everything together right now. She's about to speak and read something. So here she goes. God bless him, and here she goes.
Okay. Amen. Lord, sometimes I get distracted by the cares of life, the neglect, the kingdom of work that you have called me to. Renew my sense of urgency to proclaim the good news and share your grace with others. Empower me to live in the way that always testified to your love, your grace, so that you may draw others to yourself through me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'd already said this, and I didn't know I was going to read this prayer. So I thank the Lord. He gave it to me already, some of it that he was going to put it in his prayer for me to read when I found it. That was a devotion
Amen.
Prayer. So I thank the Lord for giving me some wisdom and knowledge and some understanding so that I may tell my brothers and read some of his work to tell my brothers and sisters. Was thus said the Lord. I've been out of breath trying to walk them down my daughter's stairs that I stay. And it's the little stairs. I'm not supposed to climb, but I have to exercise and get in. So thank the Lord. Y'all just keep us in prayer. We haven't moved yet. Just keep us in prayer. You know, things take time. Keep that being light. Our family in prayer. Pray for sick, hunger. And everybody, God bless. Everybody, later.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Sister Brenda and Brother John, God is truly worthy to be praised. And for us to share and encourage one another and to be an encouragement also. So praise the Lord. Thank you again for sharing. Again, welcome, brothers and sisters. Please press 1 if you would like to share, if you haven't got a chance to share your prayer request or just a quick testimony. This is the time for you to share. So please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. So I'll go to the next caller, 857-505. Oh, I missed the caller before that. 843-206. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister Carla. Thank you so much for opening my line. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful to be here tonight. And this is Sister Tymeco from Florida. And it's just such a blessing. I just want to give the Lord all praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. He has brought me and my family members to another week, safe and sound and secure. So I just thank him for everything that he is doing for us. And for those who are hurting, we are praying for each and every person on the prayer line, those who are suffering. We're praying for everyone. So I just want to ask the prayers for everyone on the prayer line this evening, all my beloved brothers and sisters around the world, and all of the SBA churches around the world. And I do have a small scripture to read. It's taken from Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations." So I praise the Lord always, no matter what they're going through. May you always remember to praise the Lord and give him thanks. And thanksgiving all goes to him because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we love him very much, and we thank him for taking good care of us and bringing us all through another safe week. Thank you so much for opening my line. Sister Colin, I'm asking for prayer for my children and my grandchildren and my mom's aunties. Thank you so much. Love you, Sister Colin. Have a blessed night. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nice to hear from you, Sister Tymeco. I'm glad you're doing well in Florida, and thanks for sharing that verse. And we know praying, singing, and reading these Bible verses and committing them to our heart is a weapon. And when adversity or, you know, we're distressed or whatever, temptation, whatever come up against us, we can use this to draw closer to God, because we know if we draw closer to him, he'll draw closer to us and the devil will flee. So yes, my dear sister, we'll keep your family in prayer, and may the Lord continue to bless you. So I will open the line. I believe it's Brother Eli, 857-505. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Hello, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters on this prayer line. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, Sister Carla. I would like to thank God for his love and his mercy because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Carla, yesterday, don't forget to lift up my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, lift up my mom in prayer. My mom seems to need a lot of prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer, Sister Carla, in the Holy Sabbath day. Sister Carla, please lift up Brother Javel too in the Holy Sabbath day because Sister Carla, yesterday Brother Javel was being mean to me, Sister Carla. And Sister Carla, that is not Brother Javel, Sister Carla. Is the enemy making him to be mean to me. So please lift up Brother Javel in prayer because
yes.
He needs a lot. He needs a lot of prayer, Sister Carla. And Sister Carla, yesterday I listened to that message too. Just like Sister Stephanie say, we should love one another. We should,
amen.
You know, we should love one another. And Sister Carla, can you read that verse, Sister Carla, in this prayer line? How you say that? Colossians, we should love one another. Sister Carla, can you read that verse? Colossians, amen. May God bless you all. Please pray for Brother Giselle.
Colossians?
Yes.
What verse is Colossians
3, verse, is it verse, I asked Sister Demico, is it verse 3 and verse something like that?
Okay. I'll look for it.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Eli, for calling and for sharing. We will lift you up in prayer. And Brother Javel and each and every one of us, we have to go to the throne of God to lift each other up in prayer, and we should pray without ceasing, amen, because God is truly, truly worthy to be praised. And as we go into prayer, I see Sister Leola has pressed 1. I'm not sure if she would like to pray. This is our prayer time, so let me open the line, see if she would like to offer us a word of prayer. Again, thank you for calling, brothers and sisters. I pray that everyone had a blessed week thus far, and God is truly good. I was refreshed and blessed as I went to the camp meeting and came back Monday night, and it's been a blessing so far, and then I had to go right back to work, but praise the Lord, I was off today to take care of garden and house chores, but I just thank the Lord because he has, you know, just alive for a time such as this to give him praise and to, you know, worship him in spirit and in truth and to glorify and to magnify his name. So let's see if Sister Leola would like to give us a word of prayer. Amen. Your line is now open. 225-337.
Amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to share something, but I can go ahead and pray. Amen.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. We can go ahead and pray.
Amen.
Yes, let's pray. Savior, oh, we calling you now, Father. Father, oh, Father, as we call upon thy holy name, and as I sung this song, Savior, hear our humble cry. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass us by. Father, this Sabbath day, Father, we come before you, Father, as humble hearts to serve you, to listen to your word. Heavenly Father, as we are here, Father, to hear from you tonight, we ask him that the Holy Spirit will fall afresh upon us, the word of God, leading and guiding us that we may love would God give us that holy word. And we ask him, Father, that you would touch our heart tonight whatever the minister may bring to us, Father, the commandments, whether it's the coming of Christ or whatever your word says, Father, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Lord, for these times that we are living in, Heavenly Father, I'm asking, Lord, Father, for that wisdom and help us to lean not to our own understanding. Heavenly Father, as I lift up our brothers and sisters on this prayer line, I'm asking you to touch each and every heart, children, to know you love them and you will never leave them nor forsake them. So now, Lord Father, as we lift up the minister also, Father, as he began to bring your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit would fill him and help him to bring what we need, Father, the food from heaven. This food will fill us. This food, as Christ said, we will be filled. So fill us with the food from heaven, Father, that we want no more. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your loving kindness and your mercy that you've given to us another Sabbath. Lord, we lift this day up to you because we are truly blessed to host on the prayer line. I thank you, Lord, that you have kept her throughout her days when she went to the camp meetings and given us safe traveling mercy. Oh, thank you, Father. Blessing each and every one of my sisters and brothers, those that may be still traveling, I'm asking that you touch their heart and help them to get home safe and get to their destination safe. So, Father, now as we come to the Word of God, we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to impress upon our mind that the love of God shows us through his Word. So as you love us evermore, to give us another day, another blessing night that we can hear from you. So fall afresh on us tonight. Father, we'll give you all thanks and all praise. And Lord, we thank you. Bless each and every one of my sisters and brothers on this prayer line. And I'm asking you to touch their heart as they go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow to go serve you. Let us all understand. The Bible says let's hear the whole conclusion of God to keep his commandments. And so we keep the Sabbath, Father. Help us tomorrow to not speak our own words or do nothing of ourselves. So now we thank you. Bless us and keep us tonight as we humble ourselves. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla.
Amen.
My line. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll have another prayer. Thank you, Sister Leola, for the prayer. Kind and loving Father, as we come before you, we thanking you for another Sabbath. We thanking you for your love. We thanking you for your mercy. We thanking you for your grace. We thank you, O Lord, knowing that we can call upon you. We can depend upon you. We can trust in you because you are not like men that you should lie. But you are a God, you are a Savior, you are a Creator, our Redeemer. And we just thank you, Lord. Teach us how to love you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. Teach us how to surrender all to you, Lord. Help us to be broken. Help us to be convicted and converted and sanctified in your precious love, Lord. You heard the prayer requests of each and every one of my brothers and sisters, Lord, and even the unspoken prayer requests, Lord, I lift them up to you, Lord. You know the pain and the suffering that's going on within homes, between marriages, oh Lord, family, children with parents, and also with their siblings, Lord. We ask that you will create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Lord. Because if we have the wrong spirit, we cannot serve you. We're serving the enemy, Lord. Help us to have that right spirit. Help us to have your love. Oh, Lord, we need you more than ever. As in Romans 12:10, it said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And honoring, preferring one another, as Brother Eli was requesting the verse of, we should love one another as Christ loved us. And that tells us that we are his disciple. We are his children. Lord, we thank you ever so much. We praise you, Lord. We ask that you will heal those that are sick mentally, spiritually, physically. Lord, help them, oh Lord, to recover. Help them, oh Lord, to be restored in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Touch us, our bodies, Lord, so that our bodies could be the living temple, holy, holy, Lord, and acceptable by you, which is our reasonable service, Lord. We thank you ever so much, Lord. We ask that you will bless Brother Eugene, oh Father, as he presents the message this evening. We ask that you will be with his wife as they're expecting a child in August, Lord. We ask that you will be with his ministry, kind and loving Father. Please help him, strengthen them, and provide for them, Lord. And even as he will be speaking, bringing the word to us, Lord, may you richly bless him, kind and loving Father. Speak through him a word that is rightly needed at this time. Be with those that are not with us, Elder Rick, Brother O'Neill, Sister Stephanie. Bless Sister Katie as she's on, and her family, her son and her grandchildren. Be with the Calvaire family. And there's so many families and friends, oh Lord, those that I might not remember. Elder Richardson, be with him and his family, Lord, and be with each and every one of us that we may glean, that we may get hear the word that is rightly needed to direct us, to reprove us, to correct us, and to teach us in the way that we should be acting, the way that we should be living, and what we should be doing in these last days. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Brother Eugene, if you can press 1, I can open your line. Amen. And I'll play a song in between, brothers and sisters.
Out of that red and
Amen. Amen. Jesus, I come to thee. Amen. What a beautiful song. Okay. Now we're going to open the line for our brother Eugene. We already had a word of prayer, and he will give us a word of prayer before he begins. And we just want to welcome again our dearly beloved brother Eugene and his wife, Sister Laverne. Amen. Your line is now open.
All right. Sabbath. Good evening, everyone. Thank you again for the extended invitation. Allow me to speak on the Advent Light Prayer Line Ministry. I pray that you had a blessing week by God's outstanding grace. And also thank you again for that beautiful, special music. And now what we'll do is I definitely would like to open up with a word of prayer before we begin our study for this evening. So let us pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have to be here. Thank you for giving us the courage to still be alive, to witness, to be a light in places where we don't feel comfortable being a light. But we have to, because it's not about us, it's about you. And as we're here on this Sabbath day, we ask for a special blessing. Thank you for being kind to us when we're not kind to others. And we appreciate you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening's study is entitled The Darkest Hour of Earth's History. The Darkest Hour of Earth's History. Since 2020, there has been a lot of ideas regarding how the end is going to pan out. Many have concluded specifically that the vaccine was going to usher in the national Sunday law. For others, many assume that the World Economic Forum was going to establish a one-world government. There are a lot of things going on. Others were talking about the 5G, the radiation. And for some, they assume probably AI would be launched. And there was also a good company addressing the depopulation program. But friends, I truly believe that yes, all these things are possible. All these things could have happened. The devil is very intelligent. He knows that if he pulls off a stunt, what was discussed during the pandemic, God's people will not be fooled. So the devil was very intelligent enough not to pull the strings right away. But there's something that I want to share with you what the devil does not want us to have our eyes fixed. And that is the work that Jesus is doing in the sanctuary above. That should have been the conversation. That should have been the discussion that taken place among not just Seventh-day Adventists, but specifically those who profess to believe in the present truth. Let me tell you why this is so important. In the book, Testimonies to Ministers, I want to read a statement for you taken from the book, Testimonies to Ministers. And in the book, Testimonies to Ministers, we as Seventh-day Adventists, what we're about to face and who we are facing in this warfare. And I want you to pay attention to page 460, page 460. I'm going to read the section entitled The Snares of Satan. And I want us to listen to what the prophet of the Lord has to say, or if I may say, the prophetess of the Lord. Notice what she says here. Now, This is Ellen White receiving an insight in regards to what among the discussion that Satan and his angels had. And notice what she says here, right? And I'm going to read for you very carefully. Please pay very close attention to what she says here. She says, and if you have testimonies to ministers, look on the section entitled The Snares of Satan. You can read that whole chapter, but I'm going to start from page 472, and it says the great deceiver, we must watch those who are calling the attention of the people to the Sabbath of Jehovah. They will lead many to see the claims of the law of God. The same light which reveals the true Sabbath reveals also the ministration of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary and shows that the last work for man's salvation is now going forward. This is what he's saying to his angels. It continues. Hold the minds of the people in darkness till that work is ended and we shall secure the world and the church also. I'm going to stop right here. According to what Satan says here, this is Ellen White quoting from Testimonies to Ministers, page 472, the section entitled The Snares of Satan. You can read the whole chapter, but I'm reading the specific section that she's addressing. What is Satan's game plan for God's professed people? He said very clearly that they must divert the minds of God's people from paying attention from the ministration of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary. And then it quotes and says this. This is what he says. And show that the last work of man's salvation is going on right now. Hold the minds of the people in darkness until that work is ended. And we shall secure the world in the church. So in other words, if our eyes are not fixed in the work that Jesus is doing in the heavenly sanctuary, if our conversations or questions among one another, is our soul temple cleansed? Are we doing the work of purification? Are we afflicting our souls in this anti-typical Day of Atonement? If that is not our discussion among those who profess to believe the present truth, according to what Sister White says, the devil has us and the entire church. Because guess what? If our conversation is not according to what Jesus is doing, that means we're technically by default in darkness. Yes, we can talk about the one world order. We could talk about the CBDC. We could talk about climate change. And these are important issues that will affect us. However, what's really going to help us to endure until the end is if we have our eyes fixed on the ministration of Christ and if we are in cooperation with him doing the work of cleansing the soul temple. I want to continue the reading. It says that the Sabbath is the great question which is to be decided the destiny of souls. And we must exalt the Sabbath our creating. We have caused it to be accepted by both worldlings and the church members. And now the church must be led to unite with the world in its support. And we must work by signs and wonders to blind their eyes to the truth and lead them to lay aside reason and fear of God and follow custom and traditions. So in other words, traditions is one of Satan's agencies of leading God's people from having their eyes fixed on Christ in the heavenly sanctuary. It continues. Satan says, I will influence popular ministers to turn the attention of their hearers from the commandments of God. That which the scriptures declare to be a perfect law of liberty shall be represented as a yoke of bondage. The people accept their minister's explanation of scripture and do not investigate for themselves. Have mercy. Therefore, by working through the ministers, I can control the people according to my will. So in other words, if God's people are not studying, if they just turn on the television or YouTube, watch 3ABN, watch a lot of these ministries, I don't want to call them out, but a lot of them are exposing the sins that's taking place in the church. But if we're watching them and we're not even studying ourselves, and we're receiving the explanation of what prophecy is instead of investigating for ourselves, so the time when we will have to stand before kings and rulers and statesmen and the wise men of the earth, we will not be able to defend the faith because we've always been food-fed by these ministries, as well as conferences. We have to investigate for ourselves. Jesus cannot bring things back to your remembrance if you did not have a personal experience with the scriptures, period. Case closed. It's not going to happen. We have to dig for ourselves. A lot of people go to the supermarket and buy food, but no one wants to dig the ground, prepare the soil, plant the seed, take care of the plants, protect it from pests, protect it from things, from the environment, and then the time will come when it will grow and bear fruit. No one wants the hard work. Everyone wants the convenience, the easy way of knowing truth. That day has to come to an end. We have to put an end to that. Notice what it says. It continues. This is what Satan says, but our principal concern is to silence the sect of Sabbath keepers. We must excite popular indignation against them. We will enlist great men and worldly wise men upon our side and induce those in authority to carry out our purposes. Then the Sabbath, which I have set up, shall be enforced by laws, the most severe and exacting. Those who disregard them shall be driven from the cities and villages and made to suffer hunger and privation. So in other words, the way the devil is literally going to cause God's people to suffer from hunger and privation is basically get them to not believe that they have to get out of cities into the country. Get them to believe that we have enough time on this world. Get them to believe that the country living message that was given to us, it's not relevant right now. Let's wait for the Sunday law. Friends, you can't wait for the Sunday law to happen. Do you know how long it takes for you to buy a house and then you have to wait for the closing? Do you have the money and finance to take a loan out of a bank? Do you know the requirements to live and to be able to inspect a house to make sure that there's no bad septic tank? Do you understand the magnitude of living in a country is different from buying a house in a city? Friends, all that preparation has to be done before the crisis hits. So the way the devil is going to work, he's going to cause God's people to leave these cities. And because they did not prepare for the event that was to come, they're going to eventually head back to the city and receive the mark of the beast. But notice what it says. It continues. Once we have the power, we will show what we can do with those who will not swear from their allegiance to God. We led the Romish church to inflict imprisonment, torture, death upon those who refused to yield her decrees. And now that we are bringing the Protestant churches and the world into harmony with this right arm of our strength, the papacy is the right arm of the devil's strength, we will finally have a law to exterminate all who will not submit to our authority. When death shall be made the penalty of violating our Sabbath, that's referring to Sunday, then many who are now ranked with the commandment keepers will come over to our side. So in other words, the devil is going to threaten those who are trying to be faithful to God. And the way he'll threaten them is by the penalty of death. Those are harsh words, but he's the devil. He's evil. Notice what it says. It continues. But before proceeding to these extreme measures, in other words, before we actually execute those by the guillotine, by starvation, by the execution of weapons of mass destruction, I don't know what they're going to use. They're going to use something to exterminate God's people. And we're told that there's going to be martyrs in the last days. Nevertheless, we want to make sure that wherever God has us, we want to stand in that post of duty, faithful and true, and make sure we are called. But notice what it says. Before proceeding to these extreme measures, we must exert our wisdom and subtlety to deceive and ensnare those who honor the true Sabbath. Now, I want you to pay attention to what we're about to read, friends. Notice what he says. We can separate many from Christ by worldliness, lust, and pride. Now, obviously, that's true. A lot of God's people are dealing with these things, worldliness, lust, and pride. But I want you to pay attention to what he's going to say next. They may think themselves safe because they believe the truth. But indulgence of appetite or the lower passions, which will confuse judgment and destroy discrimination, will cause their fall. I repeat, this is what the devil is saying. They may think themselves safe because they believe the truth. That means people in present truth. I want to talk about those who profess present truth. And notice what he says. But the indulgence of appetite, this is what the devil is saying, the indulgence of appetite or the lower passions confuse judgment and destroy discrimination will cause their fall. This means that those who are struggling through appetite, those who are struggling by the lower passions of the nature, the devil is going to cause you to fall and to receive the mark of the beast. And you know how he's going to do that? Remember the story of Daniel and his friends? Daniel and his friends were not able to worship the golden image because they had control over their appetite. They had control over their lower passions. That's the reason why they were able to overcome. This tells you and I that the devil has been studying how the human body operates. The devil is an intelligent, you know, we think about neurologists, we think about psychologists, we think about a dermatologist, we think about all these ologists, people who are expert in their fields when it comes to the medical, whether it's the mind or the physiology of the body. But the greatest ologist out there, other than God and Christ, it's Satan. Satan knows how the human mind operates. He knows what excites the lower nature. And if he can get you and I to not overcome appetite, he has us even before the Sunday law hits. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, notice what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, many of us are aware of this passage. The Apostle Paul says, starting in verse 24, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And everyone that strives for the mastery, and that's a true statement, the sport athlete, is literally going to prepare himself to win the World Series, the NBA Championship, the Stanley Cup, the Super Bowl. The list goes on and on. All these sport industries, the greatest of all, the best players are going to do what it takes to win that prize. And, you know, God's people must have that mentality. We have to do what it takes in order to receive the crown of life. There's a lot of people in present truth, they want to be bench warmers. They don't want to be God's starting five. They want to sit down a bench and thrive off of someone else's effort and call themselves a winner. It's not going to happen. You will never receive the crown of life like that. That's how the world works. But in God's way, in God's method of winning, you got to go out there and do the thing. You got to be that number one. But guess what? When we're striving, always remember Christ is with us. Notice what it says. It continues. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Every man that strives for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. In other words, I'm not going to run for no reason. I'm running for a reason. And then he says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I am going to fight, not like someone who's beating the air. That's the boxer. Now, when someone's beating the air, that also implies that they're training. But the Apostle Paul says that he's actually in the race. He's in the race right now. Yes, he died. But when he wrote this, at that time period, he was in the race. And then he says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, in order for me to effectively preach the gospel, in order for me to be a vessel for Christ, I have to make sure that it is not me, but it is Christ when I am preaching this message. And this message can be effectively delivered when I keep my body in subjection. Notice what the book Counsels on Diets and Foods, page 84. The book Counsels and Diets and Food, page 84. The prophet states, or the prophetess states, will not the inducements presented before those who are running in a Christian race lead them to practice self-denial and temperance in all things, that they may keep their animal propensities in subjection, keep under the body, and control the passions? That's the question she's asking. That's the question. The question is asked that those who are running the Christian race lead them to practice self-denial and temperance in all things, that they may keep their animal propensities into subjection and keep under the body the control of appetite and lustful passions. That's the question. Will they do this? The answer is, then they be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's the answer. So in other words, in order for you and I to escape the corruption that has plagued the world through lust, we really have to control the appetite and passions. We really have to strive for that mastery. We really have to put it to our minds, am I really about this life that God is calling me to live? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we about this life? Because for some reason, worldliness is still in us. The truth is that we still have lust and pride. We still have not kept the appetite under control. Notice Counsels and Diets of Foods, page 168. Carefully study and consider your diet. Study from cause to effect. Cultivate self-control. Keep under the control of reason. Never abuse the stomach by overeating, but do not deprive yourselves of wholesome, palatable foods that health demands. I repeat, carefully study your diet. Study from cause to effect. Cultivate self-control. Keep appetite under the control of reason. Never abuse the stomach by overeating, but do not deprive yourselves of the wholesome palatable food that health demands. And you see, that's Counsels and Diets of Foods, page 168, paragraph 3. It's not just battling with the flesh nature. It also comes to the point of when we can have the power of control, self-control. That's why the fruit of the Spirit, if you pay very close attention, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and the last one is temperance. Did you know that the fruit of the Spirit is actually the time when we first come to Jesus, we fall in love, and then it ends to the pinnacle of our experience of being an overcomer in Christ? That's Galatians 5, verse 22. And in verse 23 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. The time come when God's people will crucify the flesh and the affections and lust thereof. That time is going to come soon. And I believe it. And I believe that we, as a people, God is calling us to this. Because, friends, I'll tell you this much. The devil, remember, he is a keen observer. And he has been studying the human body for nearly 6,000 years. He knows us better than we know ourselves. If he can cause us to fall, if he can cause us literally to not overcome, we technically by default are going to receive the mark of the beast, according to Testimonies to Ministers, page 473. I want to now, I want to read for you in Counsels on Health. Counsels on Health, 125. Notice what she says. The necessity for men of this generation to call to their aid the power of the will, strengthened by the grace of God. You notice the power of the will must be strengthened by the grace of God in order to withstand the temptations of Satan and resist the least indulgence of perverted appetite is twice as great as it was several generations ago. So in other words, brothers and sisters, the generation several generations ago, our generation are going to have to do the work two times greater in overcoming the indulgence of appetite and resisting Satan's temptations. And she goes on, but this present generation has less power of self-control than those who lived then. And those who have indulged the appetites for these stimulants have transmitted their deprived appetites and passions to their children. And the greater moral power is required to resist intemperance in all its forms. The only perfectly safe course to pursue is to stand firmly on the side of temperance and not venture in the path of danger. Friends, we're living in a wicked generation. And yes, it's going to be hard. But the Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that I and you can do all things through Jesus Christ, who will strengthen us. Should continue on, paragraph 2 of Counsels on Health, page 125. The great end for Christ endured that long fast in the wilderness was to teach us the necessity of self-denial and temperance. So in other words, Jesus in the wilderness, the principal thing that Christ wanted us to know was to teach us how to have control over ourselves. She goes on to say that this work should commence at our tables and should be strictly carried out in all the concerns of life. The Redeemer of the world came from heaven to help men in his weakness, that in the power which Jesus came to bring him, he might become strong to overcome appetite and passion and might be victor on every point. Not on some points, but every point. I want to read this passage in 1 Peter. In the book 1 Peter, I want you to pay attention to this one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should know longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. I repeat, that he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin, that he should no longer live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. As Jesus Christ overcame us, he ceased to sin. That's our calling, my brothers and my sisters. That's our calling. I want to read for you another statement. This is taken from the book Great Controversy. In the book Great Controversy, I want you to now pay attention to the purpose of me sharing this study. Great Controversy, page 600, and such as never was. This is 622, paragraph 4. The time of trouble, such as never was, is soon to open upon us. And we shall need an experience which we do not now possess, and which many are too indolent to obtain. In other words, the experience that is needed for the time of trouble, a lot of God's people are lazy to obtain it. You know why? Because they're not fighting for it. They're not running the race. They want to be bench warmers. They don't want to go out there and be God's starting five. And continue on. It is often the case that trouble is greater in anticipation than in reality. But this true of the crisis before us. Mercy. In other words, there's always been a great anticipation for the Sunday law, for the crisis that's about to hit. But the reality is, when it does happen, it will not be the case. That's the sad truth. And then she says, the most vivid presentation cannot reach the magnitude of the ordeal. In that time trial, every soul must stand for himself before God. Though Noah and Daniel and Job were in the land, as I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver their own. They shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Ezekiel 14 and verse 20. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. It continues. Now, while our great high priest is making the atonement for us, we should seek to become perfect in Christ,
Not even by a thought could our Savior be brought to yield to the power of temptation. Satan finds in human hearts some point where he can gain a foothold. Some sinful desire is cherished by some means of which his temptations assert their power. But Christ declared of himself, quoting John 14, verse 30, the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. Satan could find nothing in the Son of God that would enable him to gain the victory. I repeat, when Jesus said in John 14, verse 30, that the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Ellen White says, Satan can find nothing in the Son of God that would enable him to gain the victory. Why? Continues, he had kept his Father's commandments, and there was no sin in him that Satan could use to his advantage. Now listen to this next sentence. This is the condition in which those must be found who shall stand in the time of trouble. I repeat, those who are going to stand in the time of trouble, this must be their condition. What is that condition? The prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. My friends, do we have our eyes fixed to the Savior? Are we talking about things that are happening in our conferences, this ministry, that ministry, et cetera, and so forth, the apostasy, not only in the church, but also in the world and as well as in government? These things, yes, it's good to be informed, but what has been your conversation? What has been your contemplative thought? What has been your experience? Have you been afflicting your soul? That's the question. Because all these things are good. All these things are great to be informed about. But if we're not partaking of the experience of overcoming the appetites, the indulgence of appetite and the lower passions, we will never be a recipient of the latter rain. We will never receive that privilege to give the loud cry. It is my challenge for you as well as for myself that we give our hearts to Jesus. And when I say give our hearts, I'm talking about a full surrender and a commitment. And there's going to be a struggle because there's things we're holding on to. It could be unforgiveness. There's someone that we don't like. Maybe you can't stand the minister because he doesn't preach a good sermon. And you're like, man, like, there's a complaint that's going on. There's so much that's going on that we're not demonstrating Jesus. We have to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in our circumstance? We have to ask ourselves, what is Jesus doing right now? What does he want from me? He wants our hearts. The heart that is always complaining and nagging is the heart that's going to be doing his Father's business. You know what Jesus did when he was on earth? He was going around ministering in the churches where apostasy was. He did not allow the apostasy to scare him or to start his own ministry. He went in the apostasy to save those who was in apostasy. And he had commissioned the disciples to do the same thing. You know what Jesus did? He went into the homes and he told them, get your house in order. Are we getting our house in order? You know what Jesus did? He spent hours early in the morning in prayer. Do we value our times with God? Have we just did a five-minute prayer, all right, let me just pray, Father, forgive me my sins, thank you for the dangerous thing, boom, we go out the window or out the door and get to work? Are we rushing in our prayers? Are we rushing through our devotions? You know what Jesus would do? Jesus would go and make things right with people who didn't like him. You know what Jesus would do? Jesus would respectfully let people know who he is, his purpose, his mission, his vision, where he's going, his goals. He's not afraid of compromise. We have to study the life of Christ, not to have a knowledge about it, but to experience it. Let this be our mindset, because I believe that a storm is coming, lightning speed. And don't worry about what others are thinking or saying. Let's have our eyes fixed on the Savior, because there is going to be an overwhelming surprise. Those who you thought would receive the latter rain are not going to be the ones who are going to be, who's going to receive the message. Because the latter rain is a message not only to call Babylon and to expose the sins of Babylon, but it's also going to reveal the revelation of the righteousness of Christ. If we don't have that type of love to direct souls to the Savior, and we're always teaching a message of condemnation and being very combative, God cannot use us respectfully. God cannot use us respectfully. God wants you and I to be in the work of what Jesus is doing, and that is cleansing the sanctuary, not only in heaven, but also our soul temples. Pray, Father in heaven, we want to say thank you again so much for giving us the privilege and opportunity just to go through just something simple, nothing difficult, but very profound. For the devil knows those who have not overcome the power of the indulgence of appetite, the power of the lower passions. When he knows that we have not overcome gossip, backbiting, bitterness, unforgiveness towards a relative, a church member, if he knows that we have not overcome these things, he got us. And he's not going to worry about us because we have not to the Savior to receive healing. Forgive us. We had our eyes fixed on something else and not on Jesus. Help us, Father, we ask. We apologize, and we ask for another opportunity of growth and commitment to you. Tomorrow we're going to have fellowship with brethren in our churches or at a small gathering somewhere. Can you please help us to talk about the Savior and not talk about things that are happening on a negative scale? There's time to do that during the week. But help us to talk about the goodness of your compassion and love. Help us to share a testimony of what you did for us this past week. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Eugene, for that message that is so needed for the soul to be cleansed. And, you know, as you were reading and writing down these scriptures, and I just thank the Lord because he's leading me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 4 through 9, you know. And also I want to read Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and then verse 5 on. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse, "For they that are after the flesh do not," I'm sorry, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace." And that's what we want, life and peace. And it can only be found in Christ Jesus when we are spiritual minded and not carnal minded. Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So again, I just want to, and it continue, brothers and sisters, in your own spare time, you can read Romans chapter 8, the whole chapter. So again, I just want to thank you, Brother Eugene. Is there any questions? Please press 1 if you have any questions, because I know there's a lot that we have to overcome so that we can be righteous, we can be holy, and we can be perfect as our high priest, Jesus, who is in the most holy place right now, interceding on our behalf. So again, I just want to thank the Lord, for Brother Eugene and for his ministry and for his wife and her ministry. So I see no hands have went up for questions. So, again, thank you, Brother Eugene, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. May each and everyone have a good night rest, and may we continue. Okay, I have one hand that went up. May we continue to strive and to be like our Lord Jesus. 518-951, your line is now open.
Okay. This is Sister Powell. Brother Eugene, I just want to thank you for that presentation. It was so timely and also needed for this time that, you know, we have to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. And you brought us some very important points, right? The passion of appetite and also the lower passion. And my call of is just to ask the Lord to help each and every one of us, that the greatest thing that we all have to do is to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, where he is and what he is doing at this time. So we just want to, on behalf of Advent Light, we just want to thank you for that presentation, and we wish you all the best with your ministry. It was so peace and timely. I am telling you, the Holy Spirit was really on this lecture this evening. So thank you again, Brother Judith.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing, Sister Powell. Amen. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, if there's no other comments or questions, we will depart from the Lord, from the line, but not from the presence of the Lord. May the Lord continue to bless you, and may continue to his grace to shine upon you. Okay? Happy Sabbath, each and everyone. God bless you, and Jesus loves you.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider